This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Just how real, just how subtle, and just how near is Satan's triple threat to the church today? Dear friends, the threat is real, it is subtle, and it can be as near as your Christian television channel or as near as your church tract rack. Stay tuned to find out what we mean and why God's Word says you must always be on your guard against spiritual danger, as we continue our study of Colossians chapter 2 at verse 8. And Heavenly Father, as we open your precious Word once again today, we thank you for this great privilege. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate your Word and enlighten our hearts today, so that we might understand more clearly and exactly how you would have us to live and to think and to behave, so that we will be protected from Satan's falsehoods in this present evil world. I pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are continuing our study of the greatest challenge that is facing the Church of Jesus Christ in our time, and how we as Christians are to meet that challenge. That challenge is what I have termed Satan's triple threat to the church. By what authority and by what power are we to meet this challenge? How are we to do it? Let me read for you once again the passage on which we have been focusing our attention. It is found in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. And if you are able to do so as you are listening, I trust that you will open your Bible and follow along, not only as I read this passage, but also as we focus on one verse in particular today, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. The Apostle Paul writes this: "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." In Colossians chapter 2, the Word of God tells us that the individual Christian and the Church of Jesus Christ as a body constantly face a serious threat to the Christian faith, and it comes in three forms or categories. Those three things, as we find them in Colossians chapter 2, are worldly philosophy, legalism, and man-made doctrines. We have also seen from other related scriptures that God's Word clearly identifies the ultimate source of these threats. And that source is none other than the enemy of the saints, the enemy of the church, Satan himself. Satan seeks to undermine and destroy the church by putting forward this triple threat. He seeks to subvert and destroy the individual Christian and the church as a body through the infiltration of these three things into our lives and into our thinking and into the message of the church in many different forms and in many subtle ways. We have seen that the Apostle Paul in this passage not only warns us about these things, he tells us how to deal with them. He tells us how to stand against the enemy, how to keep the enemy from gaining a foothold. He tells us that we need to put up and keep up a solid battlefront against Satan's threats. That is what Paul means when he speaks of good order and steadfastness in verse 5. He's using military terms. He speaks of taking up our battle positions, good order, and staying in those battle positions, steadfastness, rooted and grounded in our faith in Christ. And so Paul tells us how to do it by giving us a series of imperatives. He begins with two imperatives that we have already studied in considerable detail. First, in verse 6, he tells us that we must walk an enlightened walk. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Second, in verse 7, he tells us that we must grow upon a firm foundation, rooted and built up in him, in Christ, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. This brings us now to verse 8, and this focuses our attention on a third great imperative. Here is a third thing that we must do. It must be true if we are going to put up and keep up a solid battlefront against Satan's triple threat to the church. We must beware of the enemy's forces and the enemy's tactics. Beware, Paul says, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, as I have done many times in the past, I want to give you an expanded translation of this verse from the original language in its context. Paul is saying this: be constantly on your guard, with a discerning eye, with an awareness of the imminence, the nearness of the threat, so that no one will lead you away as a captive into error by means of his human speculations and the deceptions that are associated with them. Speculations and deceptions that are empty of truth. Speculations and deceptions that have their origins in the words or writings or thinking of fallen men as opposed to the Holy God. Speculations and deceptions that have their origins in the rudimentary teachings of this fallen world system and do not have their origin in the person of Jesus Christ. To sum up, Paul is saying this: beware lest anyone lead you away captive by deceiving you into believing things that are not according to Christ. This is the third imperative in putting up and keeping up a solid battlefront against Satan's attacks on our faith. Now, we need to take note of five things in this verse. First, the language once again carries the same military overtones that we found in verse 5. In verse 5, Paul spoke of good order and steadfastness, and we saw that in the Greek, those are both military terms. The words Paul uses speak of soldiers taking up their positions in the battle and not breaking ranks, remaining in their positions, maintaining a solid and fortified front against the enemy. Likewise, in verse 8, Paul uses another military term. He says, beware. Literally, it means be constantly on your guard like a soldier. Always be in a state of readiness, expecting the enemy to come, because he will. Always be prepared to meet the enemy when he comes, because he will. Second, we need to take note of the fact that the language once again is imperative. This is something you must do, or you and your church will face the most serious consequences. Third, we need to take note of the fact that the language of verse 8 carries a sense of urgency. That sense of urgency is rooted in the fact that Satan's threat is always close at hand. If you say, "It can't happen to me," you are in the most dangerous situation imaginable. If your pastor and church leaders say, "It can't happen in our church," then your church has placed itself in the most dangerous position imaginable. You are taking a position that is exactly the opposite of that which Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says must be the position of every believer and every church. Satan gains his foothold in the life of a Christian the moment you let down your guard. Satan gains his foothold in the church the moment the church lets down its guard. Dear friend, never ever be deceived into thinking that there is no present danger. Dear friend, never ever be deceived into thinking that there is no reason to be on your guard. As long as you are in this world, and as long as Christ's church is in this world, Satan's triple threat will exist, and he will be actively seeking to undermine you in your walk with Christ, and he will be actively seeking to destroy your church. And so Paul tells us to beware, to be constantly on our guard, so that we will not be led away captive by those who are doing the bidding of the enemy of our souls. Paul wanted the Colossian believers to understand this because they were a believing minority situated among an unbelieving and largely pagan majority. These things, these spiritual threats, were as close to the Colossians as the air they breathed. They were surrounded by people who practiced the mystery religions of the Greeks, people who engaged in the pagan worship of a pantheon of deities throughout the Roman Empire, people who worshipped the Roman emperor, people who practiced the ascetic religions that were based on Greek philosophy, people who practiced Jewish legalism, and people who had already gone off into captivity to various corruptions of authentic biblical Christianity. They were surrounded by such things just as we, as believers in Christ today, are surrounded by such things. Fourth, we need to understand that Satan's threat involves deception. And this goes along with the preceding point. In our time, we face increasing paganism, even in the Western world. The influence of the Eastern mystical religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, Taoism, Confucianism, these influences are growing in the Western world. Along with that, the influence of New Age mystical religions and cults is growing. We also face, more than ever before, the spiritual threat of Islam. And I could name many other false religions that are gaining an ever greater following, even in the Western world, in our time. But here is the point. Dear friends, these things are influencing the evangelical church today. Now, you may think that is an absurd statement. Well, let me prove it by just two examples. If you look closely at the Word of Faith heresy, the name it and claim it prosperity gospel heresy that you see on so much of so-called Christian television today, you will find, if you look at it closely, that it is the product of the influences of the mystical non-Christian religions, Eastern religions. That is one glaring example today. And let me give you another. Islam is having an evil influence on the evangelical church. Do you think that sounds absurd? Well, let me give you an example of just how real and just how subtle and just how near Satan's threat can be. It can be as near as your church tract rack. Recently, I was in a fundamental Baptist church, and something in their tract rack caught my attention. It was supposed to be a gospel tract that was designed to lead Muslims to Jesus Christ. It was published by one of the leading gospel publishing houses in the United States. But what was the approach in this so-called gospel tract? The writer of this tract tried to lead people to faith in Jesus Christ by giving them passages from the Quran rather than from the Bible. This gospel tract, so-called, said that the Quran and the Bible were both scriptures. This tract said that the Quran was sent to confirm the Bible. It said that the Quran is also God's revelation. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Quran openly and forcefully denies things that we find in our present passage. The Quran denies that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Jesus Christ. The Quran denies that Jesus is the Son of God. The Quran denies that he is the Savior from sin. But the writer of this tract was trying to gloss over these things to an extent. He was trying to lead people to Jesus Christ through the gateway of the Quran. What happens, dear friends, when a sincere but undiscerning Christian who wants to lead Muslims to Christ picks up a tract like that? He probably thinks, wonderful, I found something that I can use to witness to Muslims. But what is actually happening? What is Satan actually doing? That sincere but undiscerning Christian is led into error and confusion. And then that Christian goes out and gives a Muslim this tract that presents not the one true gospel, but something that is loaded with error and affirms the Muslim in his religion. Dear friends, this is how subtle Satan can be. Satan can use what is supposed to be a gospel tract to accomplish his destructive purposes. You must be on your guard. Your church must be on its guard. Satan will use every trick to drag us away from the truth, every trick to undermine our witness for the truth. And this brings us to point number 5. In verse 8, we need to take notice of the fact that the threat is personal. In the original language of verse 8, there is a personal pronoun that is not included in many English translations. Verse 8 actually begins like this: "Beware lest anyone cheat you through his philosophy and empty deceit." The threat is personal. Satan brings ruin upon the church through people, through individuals and groups of individuals. He brings ruin upon the church through the infiltration of false teachers and through people who buy into the things that false teachers have to say, because those people are unstable and confused. They are not rooted and grounded in the truth. And so this is the sum of what we find in verse 8. Don't trust your eternal destiny or your present walk with God to the speculations and deceptions of sinful man. Recognize all of these forces for what they are. They are the enemies of your souls. They are the enemies of the true faith, the enemies of Christ. And they will come at you in different ways. They will use different tactics. Sometimes they will launch a frontal attack, but far more often they will come in secretly. They will seek to undermine you in subtle ways. Learn to recognize who these people are and what they stand for. How do you do that? Compare everything with Scripture. If it is not according to Scripture, reject it. If any teacher refuses to be in subjection to Scripture, reject him. Do not have anything to do with him. Do not have anything to do with what he or she is attempting to promote. They are promoting the way of the fallen world, not the way of Christ. They are promoting things that lead to spiritual death, not to eternal life. And so you need to maintain a disciplined, united battlefront against these forces. Don't allow these people to influence you. Don't allow these people to undermine the church. Be on your guard. Don't ever say, "It can't happen to me," or "It can't happen to my church." The threat is real. The threat is imminent. The threat is personal. It comes through the words and actions of men who either have never really possessed the truth as it is found only in Christ and His Word, or it comes through the words and actions of men who have, in some way or other, been taken captive by some person who is the instrument of Satan, and they've been dragged away from the truth. The threat can even come from such an unlikely source as what is supposed to be a gospel tract, supposedly designed to reach the lost, but that actually leads both the witnessing Christian and the unbeliever away from the truth. Now, this brings us to verses 9 and 10 in Colossians chapter 2. In these verses, Paul tells us why verse 8 is true, why you need to be on your guard against any teaching that is not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ and in His Word. I want to begin our consideration of these verses once again by giving you an expanded translation of them from the original text in context. And it will be helpful if you can follow along in your copy of God's Word as I do this. Verse 9. The reason you must be on your guard against such things is because of the fact that the entire fullness of the Godhead, permanently and bodily, resides in Jesus Christ. And then verse 10. And you, all of you Colossian believers, all of us believers today, we are in Him, in Christ, having been filled full with a full salvation. which means that you are at this moment in that state of fullness. And this Christ, who is your Savior, is the one who is preeminent over every principality and authority, both seen and unseen, in this universe and also in the heavenly realms. Now once again, as is the case so many times in the book of Colossians, we have hit a vein of pure gold. There are great spiritual riches in these two verses. There is rich truth here concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is rich truth here concerning the position of every person who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Here we find two final imperatives, two other things that we must do in order to put up and keep up a solid battlefront against Satan's triple threat to the Christian and the church. We must trust in a complete Savior, and we must rest in a complete salvation. And those imperatives, dear friends, will be our focus, the Lord willing, as we continue our study of this very important passage of the Word of God on our next broadcast.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, we continue to rejoice that so many of our listeners from around the world are taking advantage of the free resources that are available on our website at teachingtheword.org. Right now, we're featuring a free resource that I hope everyone will request. It's a series of 10 messages called What Does It Mean to Be a Scripture-Driven Church? And we've made them available on an MP3 audio CD. We live in a time when so many churches are being driven in so many wrong directions by so many things other than the Word of God. The purpose-driven church movement, the emergent church movement, sonship theology, and so many other things are leading the church away from the firm foundation of the truth. Well, friends, the series of messages on this CD explores what's happening in the church today, but it not only describes the problem, it also presents the biblical solution, what God can do and does do in and through a church that has the Bible as its authority and nothing else. We're making this series of studies available on an MP3 audio disc at no cost or obligation to everyone who requests it. Here's how to request your free copy. Just go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the Free Resources link on our homepage, and then click the link to request your free copy of the MP3 CD, What Does It Mean to Be a Scripture-Driven Church?, and we'll send it to you by mail. Once again, go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the Free Resources link on our homepage, and then click the link to request your free copy of the MP3 CD, What Does It Mean to Be a Scripture-Driven Church? And we'll mail it out to you right away. If you're in the United States, you can also make your request by calling us toll-free at 888-804-9655. Once again, our toll-free number for listeners in the United States is 888-804-9655. Or if you prefer, you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. It is so important for Christians to understand that Jesus Christ is our complete Savior and that we have a complete salvation in Him. That's the focus of our upcoming broadcasts. On our next program, we'll be studying Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, where the Apostle Paul tells us that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us for that message. Thanks for listening today. Thank you for praying for the broadcast. We appreciate that so much. And thank you for your financial gifts to help keep this program on the air. Thank you so much for listening today. We look forward to having you with us next time. And until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.